before that, though, is he? Hopefully this is a sound with which you have some familiarity.
That's a very annoying sound of a tap dripping.
Yes, it is indeed dripping water. But actually, it turns out that the science behind why this happens is a lot more complicated than we first thought. And this week, scientists at Cambridge University have solved the riddle of the reason why a drip sounds the way that it does. And with us is engineer Anurag Agarwal, who actually made the discovery. Welcome to the programme. Why on earth were you studying water drips?
I was visiting a friend in Brazil, and it was the rainy season. It was raining very heavily. The bedroom I was in had a small leak. And what my friend did was placed a bucket underneath, as one would normally do to collect the water. And at the beginning, everything was fine. But after about half an hour or so, I started to hear the annoying plink noise that you hear with the dripping tap, let's say, you know, in your sink. So initially, this was very annoying and kept me awake. But then I quickly became curious. I wanted to know why it was making this loud sound.
And critically, why the sound had changed. When the bowl was empty, you didn't get a sound. And then
exactly.
As it got a threshold amount of water in it, mm-hmm. it began to make the plink plonk
yes.
noise that you
yes.
get.
Yes.
And so the physicist and engineer in you kicked in and said, I have to design an experiment to work this out.
That's right. So we advertised it as an undergraduate project and we found a smart student, Sam, to work on it.
Now you brought a demo, bowl, water, syringe. What are you going to do with them?
Yes, I've got them here. So I've got a filled bowl with water and I've got a syringe full of water. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to squeeze this syringe and release drops into this bowl full of water.
Before you do it in the water, though, you did say that when you're in your bedroom in Brazil, that mm-hmm. when the bowl was empty to start with, there was no sound. So we'd better test that first.
So that's right. So I have an empty bowl here. And if I squeeze my syringe in this, I'm just about to do it. The first drop is coming down.
All right, we're listening really carefully.
It's hit.
And I can't
second
hear anything.
Drop,
no.
Third drop, fourth drop. So as you can see, this is very silent.
Proved
so
by experimentation. I believe you. So then the bowl gets full.
So now the bowl is full and I'm going to do the same thing again. So I'm squeezing now. First drop.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely hearing the noise. Can I ask you to try something? Because you're doing nice little individual drip, drip, drip. What happens if you do a more rapid stream?
So if I do this.
Now that is different. That's louder. Is that the same thing, but just many, many times over? So it sounds louder, or is there something else exciting going on?
The mechanism here is different. So we have just finished the research for this, and it's about to be published.
Ah, so you're not going to give the game away?
No, you'd have to invite me again.
How did you then go about modelling that then in order to work out what is going on?
This is the interesting thing. Then when the water drop falls on a hard surface, it makes almost no sound. But at the same time, when it's falling on a soft surface, it's making a lot of sound and an annoying sound. This is counterintuitive. So what's happening is when the water drop falls on a soft surface, like the water surface caves in because of the mass of the drop falling.
Oh, you mean the actual surface sinks a bit under
yes.
the momentum of the falling
exactly.
drop?
Exactly.
Right, okay.
And then what happens is that this cavity that's formed wants to close because of surface tension. Water wants to get back to its original level. But it does so very quickly. And in doing so, it entraps an air bubble underneath. And this air bubble oscillates or pulsates at 5,000 hertz, which is 5,000 times a second. And that's the source of sound that we hear.
And it's right in the middle of speech frequencies, so we're actually quite tuned into that.
Actually, it's in the middle of the annoying speech frequency, which is between 1 kilohertz and 5 kilohertz. So other examples would be a baby crying, which is in that frequency as well.
It's very elegant you've been able to find out how this works, but can you extrapolate this and do anything useful with the model?
So one thing we can do with the model is to predict the amount of rainfall on an ocean, because once we know the frequency that we are measuring, we can tell what the raindrop size is, and from that we can estimate the amount of rainfall.
So what would you put a microphone underwater and listen to the rain falling on
yes,
a patch
exactly.
of ocean then?
Exactly, that's what we would
so
do.
How do you resolve where the rain is falling? Because the water is going to transmit vibrations from all over the place, over a big area, small area. How do you resolve all of that?
Localization is hard, but we can tell the total amount of rainfall. So we can do a sum of all the rain that's falling.
Forgive my ignorance, but is that a big problem facing marine scientists and hydrologists then trying to work out how much rain falls at sea? Because if there's no one there to measure it, it's a little bit of a who cares situation, isn't it?
Well, if you're interested in, you know, the total amount of rainfall in a season, and normally we do it over land in a certain place, then that could be interesting. But that's not what motivated us.
No, indeed. Any other applications, or is apart from getting someone a first?
That was the best project in the year, so the student was happy.
I'm not surprised. Very, very exciting.
But there is another application, which is that to synthesize sound, it's very hard to synthesize these kind of sounds. That's because you would think that most of the sound is coming from the initial impact when the drop falls on the water surface.
Yeah.
But from what I said, that's not what happens. That initial impact is completely silent. It's only when you get this bubble entrapped underneath, which is a few milliseconds after the initial impact, do you get the sound.
So does that mean then it's really hard to make an artificial raindrop sound?
Yes, because people up to now didn't know how to make it.
They were doing it wrong.
Yes.
So you can solve that?
Yes.
So can we look forward to then much better sounding rainfall made artificially in Hollywood movies and cartoons?
Yes, absolutely.
So have they licensed this? Have you protected this? Or can everyone can just read your paper and rip this off now?
I think it's pretty easy.
Right, well, I'll just write that down, Izzy, for after the programme, and we'll go and work on that in the office.
I've made notes. I'm already on it, Chris.
Anurag Agarwal, thank you very much. Pleasure to have you on the programme.
I'll never listen to a leaky tap in the same way again.